Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. As we end the year of 2011 and with the holiday season coming up, we are spending the hour talking about books, and we'd love to hear from you. What were your favorites this year? Is there a classic that you reread this year? Is there a book you'd like to recommend that didn't get the acclaim it deserved? And what are you reading now? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can email your pick or picks to feedback at yourcallradio.org, or better yet, you can post your comments to our new website, yourcallradio.org. And if you need any gift recommendations or if you have one, we'd love to hear that. Today we're joined by Kevin Hunsanger. He's co-owner of Green Apple Books on Clement Street in San Francisco. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
And Kristen Evans is the owner of Booksmith. That bookstore is on Haight Street in San Francisco. Hi, Kristen. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited because I'm seeing about 30 books on the desk, and I can't wait to hear about them. So why don't we start off by talking about what you're both reading. Kristen, what are you reading right now?
Well, I just finished Julia Shear's book, which is just sad but wonderful. Julia was the author of a best-selling book called Jesus Land, which was her personal memoir of being sent off to a religious boarding school with her brother. A Thousand Lives actually tells the story of the Jonestown Massacre in a unique perspective. It looks at five different people that followed Jim Jones. They all came to his ministry from different perspectives. And she was able, through newly released material from the FBI files, as well as new interviews that she conducted, to put together just this really sorrowful but beautiful retelling of what happened leading up to the Jim Jones massacre.
I've heard a little bit about this one, but didn't know much about it. So you really enjoyed it?
Well, I think it, for me, being in the Haight, it really told a part of San Francisco history that I didn't necessarily experience myself. I was a young kid, and so, of course, you know, it didn't have the same impact on me as it did people of my parents' generation. So for me, it was really valuable San Francisco history that I felt like I should understand better.
So that's A Thousand Lives by Julia Shears. And as we always do on our book shows, we keep track of all the books that are mentioned, and we'll put those on our website, yourcallradio.org. What about you, Kevin? What are you reading?
Well, I would like to just say that I also really enjoyed A Thousand Lives, and Jim Jones was kicked out of Green Apple Books once.
Really?
Is that
so,
right?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a tie to now.
But what happened?
As word had it, he and a little bit of his entourage came in, and he was puffing himself all up and being all, you know, tough guy, and here's how we're going to do things, and just sort of came in the store and was making a lot of ruckus and talking to a lot of the customers and trying to, I don't know, create a scene. And Rich Savoy, who started the store, just, that's enough, out of here, and gave him the boot.
Ooh.
So, yeah, which, who knows, you know?
What was,
had more people done that, we might have saved 1,000 lives, you know?
What was remarkable to me is it touches on a lot of the issues that we still have today in terms of lack of housing, lack of good health options, healthcare options. And a lot of people actually were drawn to his ministry because he was providing those services.
No, it started, yeah, spectacularly. He was really, you know, doing a lot of good for so many people, and just an obvious shocking end. So the book that kept me up last night is Brian Selznick's new one. He's the author of The Invention of Hugo Cabaret, which is a wonderful film this time of year. There might have been many people to see it. Wonderstruck is the follow-up to that. And if you're familiar with the novel, The Invention of Hugo Cabaret, it's told in a very innovative style. He mimics that style here, where it's a combination of graphic novel and text. So Wonderstruck tells the story of a young boy in today's time who's deaf in one ear, and has he's lost his family. He's with his aunt and uncle, and he's his story is contrasted with a young girl from the 20s who has a fascination with a film star. She is also totally deaf, and their stories work towards each other over 50 years to intersect in a very touching and poignant way. Again, the innovative style and technique used in telling the story is like nothing else, and Brian is a wonderful film scholar, so there's a lot of film technique in here, and in fact, in the graphic novel sections, these portions of many, many, many pages of just illustrations that tell the girl's story are like reading a film. They have motion, they have movement, and it's really, really striking. So that's just a beautiful book. That would be a great gift for any reader of all ages.
And I was just flipping through it because I'm really into graphic novels right now, and it is gorgeous. I really want to get that book.
It's so beautiful.
I actually just finished a new graphic novel called Robin Hood, People's Outlaw and Forest Hero by Paul Buell, and he collaborated with three graphic novelists. And we're going to be having an interview with them next week.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's such a good book. It also intertwines social commentary and historical context about Robin Hood, who first appeared in text in 1377 and is still around today. In fact, a lot of people are looking for the modern day Robin Hood. We need many.
Of course, yeah.
So that's another good one. And what about what's going on in your stores? What are people asking for? What's really popular right now, Kristen?
Well, you know, this summer we actually had, well, just late summer, a front table display for Occupy. One of our staff members sort of spontaneously pulled together several books that she thought would be an appropriate reading list for people that were interested in either participating in or learning more about what are the causes behind people's desire to protest at this point in time. So I actually brought a handful of books from that reading list, including Rich People Things. Have you heard about this one?
I've heard about that one.
It's by Chris Lehman, who is, I believe, a Rolling Stone editor, and he also has a blog on theall.com. But he puts together, there was a book, another blog to book that was really popular 2 years ago called Stuff White People Like. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one? San Francisco is on the list.
Yes.
But this one actually is a list, and he wrote this pre-Occupy, of all of the things that he sees as the trappings of the 1%. And he includes on the list the people that are, really behind some of the economic collapse. Alan Greenspan's on the list. But he also includes some really obscure things, too, and odd things, like he includes the memoir, and he describes why he
You're good.
Oh, okay. I think he describes how the memoir and reality TV contribute to people's understanding and trappings of what they aspire to. So it was a really interesting collection, and it has a sense of humor. So
interesting. So Rich People Things by Chris
Lehman.
Lehman. And what else is on the Occupy table?
Griftopia. Have you read this one?
No.
By Matt Tabibi. He, of course, talks more broadly about the economic systemic problems that are really contributing to the continuation of the rich getting richer. And I think it's probably one of the best books that actually came out last year, but it's been updated in the paperback edition and just landed in paperback. But he's an American journalist. He is very fact-based in his approach, and he lays out all of the situation that how it unfolded with the mortgage crisis.
And so that's Griftopia by Matt Taibbi, and he's a Rolling Stone writer.
That's right.
Okay, great.
We also have an Occupy shelf at the bookstore, but Rebecca Solnit has been very involved in the Occupy movement lately, and she's the author of last year's favorite book of the store, Infinite City. And she came by the bookstore and actually helped us put together some of those titles. So a lot of the selection that we have with the Occupy have been suggested and brought into the store by Rebecca. So we're pulling a little expert help out for that. San Francisco.
You and I have a lot of the same people passing through our stores. Rebecca's
hanging
out in the store.
Sure.
Well,
too.
And since we're talking about your Occupy shelves and sections, we actually have a caller who wants to recommend a related book. So let's hear from Scott in Los Gatos. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to recommend a book. It's called Take the Rich Off Welfare by Mark Zeppesauer, I believe is his name. It's 2006 is the second edition, and if you open up to the table of contents, it shows the $1 trillion in welfare that we give the rich and corporations every year. It's common sense language. Anyone can read. It shows, you know, Social Security system, lower taxes on capital gains, $197 billion in free gifts for the oil industry. You read it. It's really neat.
Hmm. What was that one called again?
It's called Take the Rich Off of Welfare.
Ah, that sounds good. It sounds like a good show, actually.
Yeah, it would be. And it's a Mark Zeppesauer, Zeppesauer.
Great.
A friend gave me the book. Read it. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. Kevin.
You know, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, what does the Occupy movement mean? How can you participate? What can you do to help? And the one real suggestion I have is shop local and spend cash. Mm. You know, that's let's just put it in a nutshell. And I think that's something that everybody can do right now that will have an immediate and direct impact on our, you know, culture and our communities.
Shop local. How are you all doing? How are independent bookstores doing right now?
Oh, we're buzzing. We're great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very exciting.
We are too.
Good. And also, the other thing we like to do on our book shows, if there's a bookstore that you love and you'd love to recommend, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can post on our new website, yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Kevin Hunsanger, co-owner of Green Apple Books, and Kristen Evans, the owner of The Booksmith. And let's hear from Chris in San Francisco. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I've got two books which I purchased at Green Apple.
Oh, thank you.
And they are both by Jane Gardam, who was shortlisted for the Orange Prize in England in 2005. The book was written in 2004, and it's called Old Filth, and Filth stands for Failed in London, Try Hong Kong, and a barrister in London did that and became very, very wealthy, and went back to London or England. And the first book is about his story, and the second book is The Man in the Wooden Hat, also by Jane Gardam. And it's the story of Betty, his wife, and all of the things that happened, which were kind of mysterious in a way in Old Filth, and they're kind of explained in the second book, which is the story, her story. So I recommend them. They're short. They're 200-odd pages, and they read very fast. So anyway, they're two good reads.
Great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And let's go, before we get back to calls, let's go through a few other books that you both have that you brought in today.
Well, I saw we both brought By Rights Market, Eat Good Food, which is by the owner of By Rights Market, which is in the Mission. It's actually one of the most popular cookbooks of the holiday season, but it's more than that. He actually talks about how he, as a restaurateur, approached the reimagining of the local grocery market. Mm-hmm. It was a business that his parents had owned, and he sort of negotiated a deal with his dad. If he was going to take over the family business, he was going to do it on his terms. And sort of by accident, he started to think very in depth, like a chef, about the ingredients that he would like to see in his pantry and the fresh food that he would like to see in the grocery store. And so the reimagining of the local independent grocery store.
Yeah, that's getting a lot of attention, and he's actually getting a lot of attention because he's been doing some interviews lately.
Sam's fantastic. We had him by Green Apple last week for an event, and he's so passionate and so driven and such a wonderful communicator. He really fired up the whole room. And, you know, his main point is really about beginning that dialogue, you know, with the people that you do get your food from. And if, you know, your butcher can't answer the question, where did this steak come from? That's not the butcher that you need to be going to. Mm-hmm. You know, that there are a lot of ways we can really improve the quality of our life through the ties we have with our communities and the food we eat. So Eat Good Food is more than a cookbook. It has a lot of recipes, but it really does encourage you and tells you how to begin that dialogue with the people in your community. So it's a great winner, and he's really deserving of all the success he can get.
And Kristen, I see you brought a book with green beans on the cover.
So this is the second book that we are just in love with out of the cookbook section. It's Tender by Nigel Slater. He's actually one of Britain's foremost food writers, has written several books that have come out in the U.S. market over the last few years. But this one is just incredible, and it's not just recipes, but also his, the chapters all cover his relationship to his vegetable garden. He raises 29 different vegetables, and he has a recipe for each one. So it's part a personal memoir and his gardening journal, and also it has some scrumptious recipes in it.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's a gourgeous gift, too.
And how much is that one?
$40.
Okay, the hardcovers are still pretty up there.
Yeah, they are. Well, especially this one. This it's, to describe it, it's like a doorstop. it's so substantial.
And Kevin, I see you holding another hardcover. It looks gorgeous. Lost San Francisco.
That's right, by Dennis Evanosky and Eric Koss. Coffee table book, extraordinary photographs of the history of things that have been lost in San Francisco. So it's organized chronologically, so beginning with the early 1800s and just how the city has evolved and how it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
The photos, for the most part, are completely new, at least to these eyes, and they just really, really show a sweeping... I mean, look at that photo.
Gorgeous.
It's so hard to... You know, there's the twofold bleed of the earthquake. That is the first picture that I've really seen to convey the scope and scale of the devastation of the 1906 earthquake. And this is a big coffee table book, photos on every single page, 1895.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They don't have to cost $1 million, you know, to have a feast for the eyes.
Good.
And Lost San Francisco definitely gives that.
Oh, and we've got, did you want to add one more thing?
Just in the similar vein, San Francisco photo books. This is actually the first book that the Booksmith has published.
Oh.
It's called San Francisco and the Bay Area, the Haight-Ashbury edition, and I brought a copy for both of you. I'm hoping Kevin will want to sell it in his store. You know, one of the things that bookstores are doing to try to be very creative and creating new revenue streams as people are buying more and more books online and buying ebooks, although we sell ebooks, a lot of people don't know that. The bookstore collaborated with a photographer who also happens to be my father to do some beautiful photography of the neighborhood and the city and the Bay Area. So it's called the San Francisco and the Bay Area, the Haight-Ashbury edition. It also has a foreword from one of our local favorite authors, Ben Fong-Torres, who wrote for the Rolling Stone for many years and continues to come out with some really amazing books as well. But we thought he would be the perfect person to write the introduction about the Haight today. And so he did that for us.
Beautiful book. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is San Francisco and the Bay Area, the Haight-Ashbury edition by Dick Evans and published at the Booksmith.
By the Booksmith.
That's exciting.
It's our first book off the press.
Ben also does a great Bobby Darin at karaoke. If you have the chance to catch him, do.
Is this the first of a few books, or is that your plan?
That's the idea. We did a Haight-Ashbury map and guide 2 years ago. We found a lot of people coming through the neighborhood and interested in the history of the area. Mm. And there wasn't really a lot of the books that we had sold had gone out of print. Charles Perry's Haight-Ashbury, which chronicles the neighborhood's history over the years, isn't available currently. I'm hoping they'll bring it out in anticipation of the 50th anniversary of Summer of Love in 2017. But this was an idea to, you know, basically meet a market demand for important history that people were craving and wanting to hear.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a few. We've got full lines, so let's take a few calls before we go to break. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. I have one book that kind of pertains to the Occupy. It gives a really great background of how unrelenting the pushback against labor has been, starting even pre-colonial. And it's called There is Power in a Union by Philip Dre. It's a big, fat book, but it's a really, actually kind of a dramatic read because of all the terrible battles labor fought. And the other book is very different. It's called Golden Grove by Francine Prose, and that's a really haunting novel about a teenager who lost her sister to drowning, and just the way that Francine Prose writes, she's very well named. Her prose is just really on the mark and also very evocative.
Francine was at the bookstore this year. We do over 200 author events a year now, and she was in the store in the spring for her new book.
Oh, we'll bring her back and I'll come see her.
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call, Judy. Thank you. Let's hear from Michelle in Santa Cruz. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I love your show, and I wanted to just suggest the Bookshop Santa Cruz for anyone that lives in the Santa Cruz area.
Yes, that's a great bookstore.
Yeah, they're on Pacific Avenue, and I didn't live here at the time, but in the early 80s after the big earthquake, I've heard that the entire community banded together and gave them books so that they could reopen. And they also have the gift wrapping station set up so that you can do all your holiday shopping and wrap your presents and walk out the door, you know, good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's a big enticement this time of year. People kind of look at us in disbelief when we offer free gift wrap, but we tell them, look, it's really our incentive to keep you here and keep you buying to everybody on your list.
And did you have a book recommendation, Michelle?
I just really wanted to recommend the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
Okay.
I'm on my way there right now.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. It's a great bookstore. Let's hear next from Alexandria in Oakland.
Hi there. I have a bookstore to recommend and a few backlist books.
Great.
The bookstore is Borderlands Books in San Francisco. They're on Valencia Street, and they specialize in speculative fiction of all types. Horror, science fiction, fantasy, steampunk, all of that stuff. And they're a wonderful bookstore. They know so many things about the genre, not just what was published yesterday, but, you know, things going way, way, way back. And they run a cafe, which is right next door, so you can sit down with your book and start reading right away if you need a kind of a respite from the holidays and from the madness. And I'd like to recommend a trilogy of books that was published years ago by Kim Stanley Robinson, who is a kind of local writer. He's up near Sacramento. And it's called The Three Californias. Hmm. And it's an amazing kind of look at politically what could happen to California in the future. And it starts out very dystopian and ends up very, you know, kind of utopian. So it's really nice.
Do you know that one, Kevin?
Sure, yeah. But there's a chance for us. Yeah, I guess that's what you're saying.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like another good show idea.
I think so, too.
Great. Thank you, Alexandria. And we'll go to one more caller before we go to break. Let's hear from Nikki in San Francisco. Hi, Nikki.
Hi there. I read a fabulous book by a local author, Lori Barkin, called The Comfort Garden. She's a San Francisco General Hospital psych nurse consultant, which means she went outside of the psych unit to the trauma unit to help the victims of violence and abuse and, you know, traumatic injuries and other kinds of trauma deal with their situation. And it really paints an incredible picture of San Francisco General and some of the most disadvantaged of the 99%. And she also makes a really great pitch for how the caregivers of patients who have really difficult circumstances can get vicarious trauma, and what caregivers and health professionals, nurses, doctors, et cetera, what they need to do to care for themselves so that they can be good for their patients.
So,
and it was just a really absorbing, gripping read, and she's a local author.
Well,
and it's just a wonderful book.
Thank you, Nikki. It sounds so good, and it probably affects all of us at one time in our lives. Mm-hmm. And another great show idea. We'd love to have her on. So thank you for giving us a call. And you can join us 866-798-8255. We'll be back after this.
You're hearing Your Call on KALW 91.7 FM. Has KALW kept you connected to your community, made you aware of a global issue, perhaps given you a different perspective about something you heard in the mainstream media? In this season of giving, please consider an additional gift to local public radio to keep great radio on the air and on the net. Or become a member if you're not already a member. You can do either online, make a donation, or become a member online at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. Or you can mail us a check. Our mailing address is 500 Mansell Street, San Francisco 94134. That's 500 Mansell, M-A-N-S-E-L-L Street, San Francisco 94134. Thank you and happy holidays from all of us here at your local public radio station, KALW San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That's our new website. You can also now leave comments there. So if you have a book that you'd like to recommend or maybe talk about one of your favorite books, you can leave it there at yourcallradio.org. And then after the show, we will make a list of all of the books and bookstores that were mentioned today. And tomorrow, we will have a conversation about how 2011 changed the desire for democracy around the globe. We'll talk about the year in democracy and all of the uprisings that happened this year. What's the moment from the grassroots uprisings that will stay with you? And what does democracy mean to you today? That's our show tomorrow. Friday, it's our media roundtable. And today we are talking about books. What were your favorites this year? Is there a classic you love to reread? Is there a book you'd like to recommend that didn't get the acclaim it deserved? And what are you reading now? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can leave your comment at yourcallradio.org, or you can email us, feedback@yourcallradio.org. We're joined by Kevin Hunsanger, co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco, and Kristen Evans, owner of The Booksmith on Haight Street in San Francisco. And before we get to more calls, I just wanted to spend a little more time talking about The Comfort Garden by Laurie Barkin. So you just said during the break there, Kristen, that this was a self-published book.
That's right. There's actually been an explosion in self-publishing. The technology, the internet has made that possible. We now see that in addition to the million titles a year that are traditionally published, that we're seeing, you know, four times that come through in terms of catalogs and website and availability in self-published books. Which actually makes the independent bookseller's job a little bit harder to really evaluate all of the books that people pitch to us for carrying in our store. We're just talking about Lori's book. It's a book that probably would never have attracted a traditional publisher, but is a very important story to tell about San Francisco General Hospital and her experience as a psychiatric trauma nurse there.
And do you carry this book?
Yes.
And do you?
I believe so, yeah. We try to focus on carrying books by local authors and with a local interest. So we also get deluged with requests for carrying self-published books, but that's one way for us to kind of contain it a little bit.
You must be bombarded.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, I sometimes they're customers, too, and so you have to be realistic in explaining to them the model, and it's time-consuming to have those conversations. But it's also important because I think people are becoming more and more aware of their story and sharing their story, and they have a desire to sometimes pen that. And there's some really remarkable self-published books that have come out.
Is it harder than ever to get published now? Is that why so many people are turning to self-publishing?
The traditional publishers are putting out the same number of books that they always have. So I hear authors say that is harder, but I think it's also that the publishers are not spending as much for books.
Probably not spending or acquiring. They probably have huge backlogs of manuscripts waiting for publication. Mm-hmm. So
in that sense, there might be more content creators.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our next caller. And my computer just crashed, so if I can get...
Leslie.
Thank you. Let's go to Leslie. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much. My favorite book of the year is Adam Hochschild's To End All Wars. And this is a book I've now read twice this year, and it's a deeply riveting and moving account of World War I, and especially its effects on the British. But I think what distinguishes it especially is that it tells the stories, the great moral stories of those who resisted both the draft and the war in general. And it was at great risk to their health and to their lives that they did so. And every page is just heartrending. and also inspiring in so many ways. And the issues that Hochschild raises have great relevance to us today and the wars that we are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, thank you for that one. We actually got an email recommendation for that as well. Have you read that, Kevin or Kristen?
I have not.
Are you hearing much from your customers about it?
I believe it made the New York Times Notable Book of the Year list.
But it does remind me of a book that I brought down today, What It Is Like to Go to War by Carl Marlantes, who was the author of Matterhorn, a Vietnam war novel of last year, year before last, that really sent shockwaves through the book community. Just a wonderful, wonderful book. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he followed that up with What It Is Like to Go to War. In a nutshell, he says that they'll train the soldiers to go and kill, but they don't train them to live with the repercussions of having killed. So he discusses the history of the mythology, the religious aspects of killing and war, and what we can do to help these returning soldiers just understand the situation that they have been in. And now with a lot of the soldiers coming home, I think this is something that's very important for a lot of people to try to get their heads around, as well as, it's probably very informative and inspirational for those who served. So Carl Marlantes, What It Is Like to Go to War, wonderful read. Mm.
All right. Well, thank you for the recommendation, Leslie. Let's hear next from Susan in San Francisco. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I shop at Green Apple, and I also order books through Green Apple as well, because I think that's a good way to spend money locally, even if you can order it on online. I'll order if I'm going to come in anyway.
Thank you, Susan.
And I think graphic novels make wonderful gifts.
Yes.
And I want to recommend Black Hole by Charles Burns.
Mm-hmm.
It's out on Pantheon Books, and it came out in 2005, but I think it's a classic, and it's so beautifully illustrated. It's a treat, and it's the dark side of American life. And also Tintin, the Hergé books, I think are just beautiful. The art of Hergé is also interesting. And even though there's a movie, I think they're sort of classics anyway. I think art and photography books make really great gifts because they're sort of like a museum and an art gallery as a present. So thanks for the good work.
Great suggestion, Susan. Thank you.
I was just remarking that probably three quarters of the books we've talked about so far have some visual element to them. And that's really a trend that we're seeing in physical book publishing, is that, to differentiate from ebooks, we're seeing these really beautiful packages for, wonderful writing, but also some visual elements. And one other book I brought by another local favorite author is the new book that just landed in the store this week by Daniel Handler with art by Myra Kallman called Why We Broke Up. It's actually a young adult book, but it, obviously Daniel channeled his inner high school student to put this one together. He had actually written another book about being in high school called The Basic Eight, which was sort of a darker book, but this...
And he has some other experience with young adult writing, too.
Right. He's also
Lemony Snicket.
Right. He's also Lemony Snicket.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Wow.
I guess that's okay to let that secret out, isn't it?
I think it's fair game now. But it's a book that actually has... I don't know if you know Myra Kallman's art.
No.
She had an exhibit at the Jewish Contemporary Museum last year. But she has just this really fun, folksy illustration style. And the book progresses where the young woman is just broken up with her boyfriend, and she's writing him a very long letter, putting items in a box that she's going to return to him, and just chronically their entire relationship. And so Myra does the illustrations of the items that are going into the box, and Daniel contributes the prose.
Nice. I like that. Well, thank you for that one. And I just want to read a couple of emails. We've got an email from, let's see here, Bill, who says, as we prepare to face an onslaught of political advertising in 2012, I recommend that as many people as possible read Drew Weston's The Political Brain. In it, Weston explains why we see the sorts of ads we get and why Republican ads usually win more elections than do those produced by Democrats. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend it highly enough. Thank you. Another good show idea. We're getting so many good show ideas this time. And then our producer, Ali Budner, wants to recommend Annie Leibovitz's new photo book, Pilgrimage. And I haven't thumbed through that one, but that one is portraits of
Landscapes.
Landscapes, okay. Okay.
I mean, she's known as a portrait artist,
right.
But I think she kind of looked at her body of work and came up with landscape photos that really reflect personality, and she has stories that are intertwined there with each photo.
All right, and thank you for those recommendations. And let's hear next from Jean in San Francisco. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to announce a new book that's just been released. It's called Conversations with Richard Purcell, and it's about an openly gay Franciscan priest who ran a homeless shelter for men with AIDS in the Intermission District in San Francisco for 20 years. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease this past year. He spent most of his illness in the shelter, which he had founded, and he was cared for by the men who cared for him.
Sounds great.
It's a very, very good book about San Francisco history. And he also incorporated a lot of his spiritual beliefs from living with the Native Americans for 20 years, which he did prior to that.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful time for San Francisco interest books this season.
Sounds like it. Well, we actually have a message on our Facebook page. San Francisco is a great movie town. What about some film biographies and film history books?
Footsteps in the Fog, I believe, was the name of a book on Hitchcock and his locations throughout the Bay Area. And then also San Francisco Noir is a collection of all the films that have been filmed in San Francisco. Including places like the Lady from Shanghai ending at Playland at the Beach, classic scene in the Funhouse. So those are two that just spring right to mind that have been published in the past.
Great. And then a few other comments from our website. Poetry always gets left off the list, but two books of poems by Bay Area poets are worth checking out. Camille Dungy's Smith Blue and San Francisco poet Dean Rader's Works and Days were the two best books of the year. And you have another recommendation, Kristen?
Well, this is actually Shel Silverstein, which everybody knows and loves. And it's kind of remarkable that 3 decades after his passing that we are now have a new book with over 100 new poems from him. The family has really dug deep into an archive of his work and have put together a book that's actually getting glowing reviews. Everybody knows him from Where the Sidewalk Ends, but same just, you know, kind of whimsical yet profound and heartwarming poetry and little illustrations. So for Shel Silverstein fans, I brought that one.
Great. Thank you. And thanks for bringing up poetry, because that's that's important.
Very important.
There's also City Lights released Lawrence Ferlinghetti's poetry book in a new format, I believe. And it's just gorgeous. It's about yay big. I don't know. Is that bigger than a bread box? but it's got this incredible artwork. I can't remember the name of the artist that's contributed, but alongside his poetry, it's just a really beautiful and gorgeous poetry book of a local favorite, Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Yeah, you know, and something also, Green Apple Books has a lot of used and rare books, and something like Lawrence Ferlinghetti, I'm thinking I can visualize the 30 signed first editions and things like that in our rare book case. So something like that, especially in poetry, is an area where we're really well represented, and that makes a very special gift.
Well, thank you for that comment. We also have a comment from Andrew in Santa Cruz, who says, the series had been going on for a while, but many of my friends and I are caught up in the Song of Fire and Ice fantasy series by George R.R. Martin. Mm. Books 1 through 5 are great, and we're all waiting for the last 3 books to come. Another series which has been hot this year with readers of all ages is the Hunger Games trilogy. Mm-hmm. The books were great, and we're all hoping the movies match a bit of the excellent storyline of the book.
Hunger Games is our top seller of the month so far, followed quickly by Steve Jobs. But yeah, Hunger Games flying.
What's it about?
The Hunger Games? I haven't read it. It's pretty dark.
I haven't read it either.
It's a post-apocalyptic thing where children have to basically survive by killing off each other.
Hmm. It is a young adult novel. So but it is gruesome.
Yeah.
And it, you know, is the situation where there isn't enough food to go around.
Mm-hmm. Now, the young adult novels these days are not the young adult novels that we grew up with, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, these have a level of sophistication you know, they're dark and scary, but also they deal with very mature themes. The book that I love so much was the Sherman Alexie the what's the exact title of it? The one he won the National Book Award for, the Indian.
Right. True Diary of
Fumble with right now. But that was one where I was just really struck. Like, this has come full circle. I mean, this is something that these are adult themes written like you're talking, writing for an adult, for kids. And that caused a little bit of flack, I mean, these are things that can be controversial at times. I think it's a great time for parents to be involved in what their kids are reading. Don't just say that book's popular, I'm going to do it. But, we really need to have, the awareness and the communication with families. But there's a lot of great, great stuff coming out in the young adult world.
I didn't know that Sherman Alexie came out with his first young adult book. It's The Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a long title.
Sounds
but good. A good one.
Yeah, a little early in the morning. Dredge that one in the past. But fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you for those comments. And you can leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org or give us a call at 866-798-8255. What were your favorite books this year? What are you reading right now? If there's something you'd like to recommend that maybe didn't get the acclaim it deserved. And we're talking about books with Kevin Hunsanger, co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco over on Clement Street, and Kristen Evans, the owner of Booksmith Bookstore on Haight Street in San Francisco. And let's hear from Nicole in Oakland. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I want to recommend a very welcoming and pleasant small bookstore in the Elmwood neighborhood in South Berkeley.
Mrs. Dalloway's.
It's called Mrs. Dalloway's.
Yes.
Dalloway's. And it's on College between Ashby and Russell. And it has a very nice selection of books, especially in literature. It's a very welcoming, clean, bright bookstore with a warm atmosphere. It's well lit day and night. It has also beautiful books for gifts. It's a very comfortable place to browse, very quiet too. And you can browse through their large selection of gardening books, their practical gardening and also inspiring photo books. And they also have regular readings. And I really recommend it very highly.
All right, thank you.
It's a wonderful place to be in.
Thank you. Thanks for the recommendations.
Right.
Let's hear from Edith in San Rafael. Hi, Edith. Welcome to the show.
I am in love with Bill Bryson right now.
Does his wife know?
No. I didn't tell her. I would like to send him an email and tell him about it, but I haven't yet done any research to get his email address. But I read the short history of nearly everything, and then his book about Shakespeare and his book about home. So they are really wonderful, and I think we can recommend those for teenagers and up. So they're really interesting. Right now I'm reading the book The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, which fascinates me. So those are my recommendations.
And what's that one about?
Henrietta Lacks, it's a book about research for cancer. So it has been on the bestseller list I think last year for a long time. And it's very, very interesting in our times right now.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Edith.
You're welcome. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Edith.
And let's go next to Katinka in Santa Cruz. Hi, Katinka. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I really like your show.
Thank you.
If you like graphic novels, you might like A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. I found out last Christmas and bought it for my son, and it was really informative for the whole family. It was really good.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's great. And then a novel that I read recently that I really loved was called A Dog's Purpose. And I can't remember the author, but it was so good. I read it and then read it to my daughter, and she loved it. And it's just one of those books that really touched me, and I really highly recommend it. So,
A Dog's Purpose.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. And the graphic novel version of A People's History is called People's History of Empire, I'm pretty sure. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for those recommendations.
Good grab.
And let's hear from Ed in Berkeley. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. I hope you don't mind departing from the nonfiction too much, but a few books that I've been One I've been consuming for the last year, and the next one I know from the past, and then there's the nice new one. The first one is called Practical Electronics for Inventors, and it's an excellent book. I know there are inventors out there, so run, do not walk, to get Paul Schmertz. I'll spell it for you, S-C-H-E-R-Z. I guess I said it wrong. Shirts.
Okay.
Terrible. Okay, there's that one. And then there's my new acquisition, but I know this book is great, A Barefoot Doctor's Manual. That is like the experiences of Doctors Without Borders type people before Doctors Without Borders in South America, I believe. And then the most recent and most fascinating book I have, and I'm just starting into it, is called... And there are people out there that they're gonna love this book. An Introduction to Neural and Electronic Networks, edited by Zornitzer, Zornitzer.
I have to say, I love our book show.
Yes.
For reasons like this. I would never have come across these books before. Thank you so much. This one sounds interesting. A Barefoot Doctor's Manual, the American translation of the official Chinese paramedical manual?
I bet that would be fascinating.
It sounds interesting. Well, we will definitely put these on our website, so thank you so much for the recommendations. And we have recommendations from Eric Jansen from our station, The Takeaway Bin, Queer Street, and The Rooms We Make Our Own. It's all short poetry and flash fiction by Tony Mirosevich. Thank you for those recommendations. And we have another comment on our website from Heather. My favorite local bookstore is Pegasus in Berkeley. They have an excellent selection of new and used titles. Thank you for that. And if you'd like to join us, we've got... Oh, we're almost out of time.
We are.
That went by so fast. Well, we have a few minutes left if you want to get one more recommendation in. 866-798-8255. You can also post to our website, yourcallradio.org. We went through almost all the lists. We have about maybe four left. So why don't you go through a few more, Kristen?
Yeah, I wanted to actually plug a local literary magazine, Zizva, which actually isn't a book, but they're doing it like a French flap paperback. It actually looks like a book, but it is the West Coast literary magazine. It had a longtime editor, Howard Junker, retired this year, and it's now being overseen by Oscar Vallelon, the former San Francisco book critic, and Laura Kogan, and they've just breathed fresh energy into this important literary institution, local literary institution, because literary magazines serve a purpose of helping bring authors that are trying to get a start to the printed page. Publishers pay attention when somebody is included in the pages of Zizva, and it could lead to somebody getting their manuscript into a publisher for consideration. It's something that I am just really delighted and tickled that they are reimagining what the literary magazine is in this day and age. And it has gorgeous art and illustrations, photographs, and short stories, poetry. So Zizva, it's Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A.
Great. Thank you for that one. And what's the next one?
Well, I'll dive in with Stretchy Head. Here's somebody who would belong in the pages of Zizva, Ian Tuttle. And this goes right back to the self-published books. This is something that was published by a small publisher in San Francisco out this year. And these are fictional stories in real places in San Francisco. So they're little vignettes that are sort of a cross between Richard Brodigan, Raymond Carver. But they take place in the Shotwells and in the Mill Valley Beer Works and various places throughout San Francisco. Minx Lounge, Lucky 13, a great little bar. And these are poignant little stories of relationships and objects and how they affect, each other. And, this is a beautiful little book that is exactly the kind of thing that most bookstores may not have, that's certainly not going to be recognized on a national level yet, but that, when you support your independent bookstores, they can support their communities and put things like this in your hands. So Stretchy Head by Ian Tuttle was a great discovery this year for me, and I'm really happy to see this on the shelves
and
at Green Apple.
Brought in a children's book, I see.
Because Christmas, the holidays,
yes.
It's for the kids, too. So San Francisco ABCs. It involves animals and super cute illustrations, but each letter has an animal and much alliteration. B, a bear eating burritos under the Bay Bridge.
Aww.
C, a cat cruising through Chinatown on a cable car.
It
really is super cute, especially D, the dog dancing to the dead. Very San Francisco, very cute. Would go great in any little grommet stocking.
I'll get that from my niece. What about you, Kristen? You have a few children's books?
Yeah, I actually brought a pop-up book. Last year, Popville was this brightly colored book about urbanization. It starts with a farm, and then you see the land destroyed and the city come up. The author, the duo from France, came up with a follow-up pop-up book called Wake Up Sloth. And it starts with a sloth just lounging away in the forest. And as you progress, deforestation. Thank you.
That's okay.
I need more coffee. Starts to occur, and you just, it's heartbreaking. And at the time when you're just about to give up, somebody plants a seed, and it starts to see little seedlings and trees pop up. And then the forest is reborn.
We've got a bunch of trees popping up out of the book.
But there's a sloth on every page, and it's sometimes a little hard to find the sloth, so it's a little bit of Where's Waldo, so it's a really fun little pop-up gift.
Nice. Beautiful illustrations, too. They're like woodcuts, so they kind of have this folk art appearance. You know, a lot of the pop-up books that have come up, you know, the last couple of years have just been extraordinarily complex, and but this is definitely a cut,
a
cut above.
I love that one, Wake Up Sloth. We have another recommendation from someone who's enjoying Langston Hughes' autobiography, The Big C, published in 1940.
Great.
So thank you for that. And final thoughts. We've got about 30 seconds left.
Shop local, pay cash. Please, you know, buy books. If you get a device for the holidays, independent bookstores can help you with that. GreenAppleBooks.com.
Oh, good. Okay.
We can sell, e-books to all devices. And I think there's even an IndieBound app, which will allow owners of a Kindle, I'm sorry, but, you know, if there are you out there, to be able to use the Google eBooks on your Kindle. So, please come out, and thanks for supporting the communities.
Yeah.
It's been a great season.
I've been humbled this year. We've had so many people, just a steady flow of people coming in and said, I really hated what Amazon did with this price app promotion to encourage people to browse in their local store and then buy from them.
Oh.
And so I've been humbled, but just really delighted that people are just outpouring of love for us, and we really appreciate it.
Kristen Evans is the owner of The Booksmith on Haight Street in San Francisco. Kevin Hunsinger's co-owner of Green Apple on Clement in San Francisco. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rose.
And thanks for your many recommendations. You can check yourcallradio.org for a list. Thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. How did 2011 change the desire for democracy around the globe? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about the year in democracy. It's been one full year since Tunisian fruit vendor Mohamed Bouazizi set himself on fire, setting off a chain of revolts in the Arab world and beyond. So what's the moment from the 2011 grassroots uprising that will stay with you? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. What does democracy mean to you today? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. We'll be right back.